Immature
Caroline,
teens.
Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat, and Cooling and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And joining us now, Outkick's Hot Mics, Jonathan Hutton. Hutton, we just heard from Jeffrey Simmons at the podium. Just got inked to a four-year extension, $94 million, $66 million guaranteed, tacked onto that fifth-year option. Do you think that was a good deal for Jeffrey Simmons?
Yes, it's a good deal for the Titans too. Great to be with you guys. Look at this from the Tennessee Titans perspective. And I heard Willie, Mace, Caroline, great perspective on, you know, it's not over yet. This is just the beginning. But this does not happen often with this Titans franchise. A first round pick gets a second contract and earned it the entire way. We've seen horror stories of first-round picks that don't pan out, or we've seen guys who feel like they should get paid, didn't, and demand a trade, and they get traded. This was priority number one. Willie and I joked it was item zero of the offseason, and they treated it as such. And that's a great sign because Simmons earned it. He played ball literally and figuratively last year. Played ball by doing the opposite of what AJ did, played through injury when he could have shut it down, and now at the beginning of the offseason, instead of at the beginning of the season, he gets the contract extension and he can go about his business being a leader for the franchise.
No, you're right about that, Hutt. I was just thinking when you said that, I'm like, man, you're absolutely right. At least in the Mike Vrabel regime, they have not, to my knowledge, they have not signed a second contract to a first rounder other than Taylor Lewan, but he wasn't Mike Vrabel wasn't the head coach when they drafted him.
Right, that's right.
But everybody since then, yeah, Derrick Henry was the second rounder. They re-signed him. Kevin Byard was a third rounder.
Yep.
Yeah, so you're right. They haven't – it's not a custom for them, for whatever reason, to – at least since Mike Vrabel has been there, to sign back their first-round pick. So this is huge for the organization.
That's a really interesting stat. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. I think we all knew it, but when you look at it year by year, Hutt, that's a lot. That's a batting average of – well, like it's like two – even if you go back before – you got to go from 2009 Kenny Britt through Treylon Burks, who we don't, you know, the jury's out.
That's right.
Only two guys. That's a long stretch.
Vrabel's first draft was Rashawn Evans. They didn't even want a fifth-year option on that dude.
Right.
You know, like, that's how it's not just been bad. It's been awful in retaining the first-round talent. In fact, it takes a while for those guys to even see the field. So, I mean, this is the opposite of that. And this is what Rand Carthon has been tasked with. Use the top elite level picks that he has and build depth and add talent around pieces like Jeffrey Simmons.
No, you're right about that, Hutt. Now, looking at this team and now that they've secured Jeffrey Simmons, and I don't think there was any doubt in anyone's mind that a deal would get done. I don't think we thought it would get done this early, but they've gotten it done. Where do you think they go from now? Because that question of guys having to take pay cuts or them asking guys to take pay cuts, that hasn't been, you know, taken care of. So there are still some financial issues out there. So much so that the Titans had to ask those guys, and obviously we know Byard said no, but do you think that that's a road they're going to continue to try to go down with asking these veteran guys to, you know, rework their contracts?
Yes, but instead of rework, I mean, if they really need that space, keep a lookout. We have hammered this all off season, but quarterbacks in play for the draft. And but what we don't know is how high and what they're willing to do versus what they feel like the price tag is for the guy that they like, if they like them. But they are doing their due diligence with the first-round graded, when I say graded, the consensus graded quarterbacks. And if they need the space, Ryan Tannehill's contract there is for the taking, where if they cut or release him based on a certain time frame, they're going to save cap space moving forward, and they can make some room. But what they've done, too, though, Simmons' contract, it's very cap-friendly, I believe, in this year. So they've structured it to where he doesn't hit as hard this year as it will later down the path of this contract, where the salary cap continues to go up. You can invest in more players in that way. And, you know, in terms of extensions, we've seen it. It was Simmons. Now it's about trying to get the rookie class in here, and then you supplement through free agency after that. But if you're trying to make a splash, the only way to do it now, in my opinion, would be to do something with Tannehill and the contract that you can save. And ultimately, you're starting a rookie. And I don't know if that's the greatest path, if it's just a bridge to something. In fact, I wouldn't sign up for that at all. But if you're drafting the quarterback of the future, and you're drafting where they are and you're willing to pay the price now to go get that guy, I would pull the trigger and go do that if the conviction is he's the guy of the future. And if he's not, Tannehill's under a contract where they don't owe him anything moving forward. Same for Henry after this season. There's not a massive cap hit after this year, so I wouldn't extend them either and prolong that cap hit if they're planning on moving on from those two vets. But real quick, guys, this is also a sign that they're going to continue to build the roster the same way they have, and that's been up front on the lines. They have $55 million of average annual value on that defensive front. That's how they win games. And I still maintain that the offensive line, man, if they – in some of these mocks, I know we mock the mocks, but some of these mocks that have the first two rounds with the Titans aren't going offensive line, I'm shaking my head. Because that is the of utmost importance right now.
I'm with you, Hutton. I think the smoke on the quarterbacks is real, and I want to follow up with that coming up next about what that means for Ryan Tannehill. Jonathan Hutton will stick around with us coming up next. It's Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jonathan Hutton from Outkick's Hot Mic joins us now. Hutton, you mentioned kind of the smoke surrounding the Titans and a potential quarterback in this year's draft. Now, Charles Robinson went on the Yahoo Sports NFL Draft podcast and said the Titans were calling around about Ryan Tannehill, finding potential landing spots, if there are any teams that could be interested in Ryan Tannehill. Now, I'm buying into the smoke that the Titans could potentially draft a quarterback in this year's draft. But in your opinion, is it really realistic that the Titans could trade up that high to pick a quarterback that they could feel comfortable with starting this year? To me, it seems like Tannehill is your starter in 2023, no matter what.
Well, and I like that theory, and I'll sign up for that plan. But again, I also have to factor in what Mace was saying with the salary cap. And when what they need for offensive line and what they plan to do post-draft. So and the post-June 1st cuts will also factor into maybe the pool of players that they can look at. But, Caroline, I mean, for this season, the best option is Ryan Tannehill for this season. For the future, if you feel like you have the quarterback of the future, because after this year you don't have Tannehill. At least I'm not factoring him into the future at all after 2023. If you can get something for him, you're going to free up $20 million in cap space, and you're going to find the quarterback that you're in love with that's the next the leader of the franchise. You make the move and you go get him. And the trade, for those that are saying, like, what would it cost? I mean, it would be like the 49ers moving up to draft Trey Lance. They gave up two future first-round picks. They swapped first-round picks that year. And a second-rounder and a third-rounder as well, I believe. I mean, it was steep to go get Trey Lance. But that's the most recent example of that pick, and of pick number three. So while it's a steep price, it's the price you pay for that specific position. Because if you don't have that guy, you're not winning in the postseason, especially in the way the AFC is stacked right now. So look, they're spending time as they should, but the top 30 visits, they brought in Will Levis yesterday, but Will Levis, to me, wasn't the headline. It's the fact that they're doing this with Richardson. They have spent a lot of time with Hendon Hooker. We need to throw him into this conversation because there are no restrictions on the visits. They don't count against the team there because he's an in-state prospect. So they've done and spent a lot of time with him starting at the Senior Bowl. when Hooker was there. So of those three, they're doing not just their due diligence, but they're investing a lot of their offseason time and efforts in determining which guy they really like and what the price would be to move up in a scenario where they need to get ahead of Indy, or if for whatever reason Arizona doesn't trade, and then you have some spots to move up after Indianapolis were to pick if your guy remains there. There are a lot of things out there. And, oh, by the way, I mean, guys, if you keep Tannehill and you love – and keep in mind, you have to love the guy. But if you love Hendon Hooker, I'm not trading back. I'm just taking the guy because he's playing the position that's premium in the league.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. So, Hutt, I want to go back to something you hit in the last segment. And you said, okay, one option they have is to take the veteran contracts of Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard, the three that get talked about a lot.
That's a good one, Willie. I failed to mention Byard, but they're already trying to do something with that one, so you're right.
But, so do they have the option, if they want it, to just, as you said, take the contracts now, don't mess with them, not eat the money, but absorb the money this year, because that will make it easier in the coming years? Can they do that and still sign the players that they want to sign? Or do they have to rework at least one of those contracts?
I think the one that they have to rework is Byard. But the way they've approached it doesn't seem all that great. Hearing about it a couple of weeks after at the owners' meeting, saying that it was erroneous reports. I mean, by then, the news is circulated and perception is reality. I would start with that. But look, I mean, the one thing we have learned in this is with Byard, they want him to take a pay cut. And with Tannehill and with Henry, they're not going to do that if they're staying around on the roster. If they take a pay cut, it would be a restructure. And with Byard, they want to take a pay cut this year based on the number that he's got at the safety position. And the way it was phrased was pay cut, not restructure. And that was the raise the eyebrow moment for me. And then since then, we haven't heard much. But it's a long off season, and guys are in their draft bunkers right now. So that's one to watch. And then with Tannehill, yes, they can keep the contracts they have, but they have to address the offensive line, and they're going to have to get creative on how they do that. Last year they gave Henry they restructured a year to where he had a $2 million bump last year to give him some guaranteed money, and this year it's just that base that they would be looking at. So if you just want to run Henry into the ground, so be it. But, I mean, Willie, I would maintain you can do that with a rookie quarterback as long as you have the right offensive line.
Well, speaking of the offensive line, how set do you think it is at this point? Or do you think there's still a few more things through the draft? What else is out there?
Maybe it's a bad comparison, but a handful of years back, the Tennessee Volunteers tried to do all this rotating on their offensive line. You know, they didn't really have a set group. It was just constant musical chairs on purpose. I feel like the Titans have a bunch of guys that play a different position. They're very versatile, and that's great. But I describe depth pieces as that, right? Like swing guys, swing tackle, swing guards, inside players. They need to address the tackle position. It doesn't necessarily have to be at left tackle, but they need to address the tackle position, and it could very well come in the first round. Maybe they like the tackle class overall in the draft where they can, you know, load up and get something in the second or third round like they've been prone to do in recent years. But I don't look at the offensive line as a set position group. The defense, they've got set position groups right now on paper. They need depth on defense. They need to add some dudes on offense. They need a starting quality young piece on the offensive line. And, I mean, we haven't even touched on receiver, but that to me is where they can really find pieces later in the draft.
Hutt, we've discussed, you know, what the Titans could potentially do, what they may do, may not do during the draft. And I think it's becoming sort of clearer to me a path for them if they potentially want to move up to that third spot. Because I don't think anything happens before the draft. I think whatever happens It happens the day of the draft with the Tennessee Titans. And it may be too rich as far as draft picks to move up to that third spot. But can you see a scenario where, because we just talked about it, that they approached him for a pay cut, not a restructure. Arizona mm-hmm. has one of the worst defenses in the National Football League. They're giving up over 30, 40 yards in the pass game. Kevin Byard could be a guy. Austin Ford knows him. Kevin Byard could be a guy that goes in there and helps that defense. So can you see him possibly being a part of a trade to move up to that number three spot?
Yeah, I mean, as long as – and Austin Ford was there – so, yeah, he would buy into the safety model. I think this is more about where they're putting their money on defense than it is about any individual player or play.
Exactly.
And, yeah, and when you look at what Byard is making with the other safeties in the league, that's what they're trying to – they're trying to reduce that price, but that's not Byard's fault. The question would be, does Arizona want to take that contract on? And with the defense, they've got Jonathan Gannon, defensive-minded head coach, young coach. Byard brings a presence to that group for sure. A lot of money locked up in quarterback. You're right. They're awful on defense. They need to stop playing, chasing the scoreboard offensively. That's really hurt them. Sure, that can be a piece. But for the most part, teams that are in dire straits want picks. Mm-hmm. And especially new general managers and new head coaches to build around, because the clock's already ticking on them. I know that sucks to say, but they took over an organization that is among the worst, if not the worst, run in the National Football League over the history of their franchise, I'm saying. So it's no easy task, and to do it, they've got to hit on draft picks, and they need to load up on them the same way that we've seen other teams do that, like Philadelphia and others that have made nice moves, and they've maneuvered their way into not just elite talent, but depth at practically every position. They have a long way to go in Arizona. Byard is also a big piece of what this defense does. Mm-hmm. They didn't have many answers at nickel, and Byard was a nice chess piece that they moved around, and then they moved him back into his normal position, and I thought he played well. So I personally wouldn't get rid of a guy like that, but sometimes it's just the straight business aspect of it and where they're structuring their money versus where they're not going to in the future with Garthon.
Last one for you, Hutton, very quickly. I heard you talking with Michelle and Junie yesterday about C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans, about how there may have been reports out there that the Texans wouldn't be interested in C.J. Stroud because he's represented by the same agent that represents Deshaun Watson, and there's obvious bad blood there between the Deshaun Watson representation and the Houston Texans. Would that really be what stops the Houston Texans from drafting a quarterback with the caliber of C.J. Stroud? Like, is that real? I have a tough time buying that.
No, I don't think it's real. Look, I do think there was some animosity for sure whenever they signed Deshaun Watson to that $100 million plus contract extension in September, and then by January he was demanding a trade. So, and part of it had to do with Bill O'Brien trading away Hopkins. But just take a step back and think about the players that David Mogoletta, the players he represents, and the players that in this scenario they'd be passing over. It was just before I joined Michelle and Junie. Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus was on with Ryan Leaf in his radio program, and they were discussing what Houston would do if Bryce Young was number one overall, because in all these mocks, for the longest time, it's been Bryce Young to Houston. And they brought up the idea that Houston doesn't want Stroud because they don't want to deal with the agent that they had to deal with during the whole Deshaun Watson saga. But keep this in mind. The same agent also put in the no-trade clause. That no-trade clause then allowed Houston to reap the rewards of every one of those draft picks that Cleveland Browns gave them, including the 12th overall pick in this year's draft. So they're drafting second and they're drafting 12th. And part of that is due to the contract that the agent for Watson negotiated. So there's not that much bad blood to where they would pass over a franchise QB. And if you pass over him, you're taking Richardson or Levis And to me, those are big swings with a potential miss, much more than the other two we're discussing right now.
Yeah, great way to get fired, to lose your job, if that's the move that you decide to make. Hutton, always a pleasure talking with you. We'll chat with you next week.
Always enjoy it. Thank you, guys.
Yep. Awesome. Thanks, Hutton. Coming up next, I want to hit on something that D-Mace brought up. It's an interesting thought, and we'll give our thoughts on it and your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline Billy, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, beat caller 3 right now to win a family 4-pack to see the Nashville Sounds take on the Norfolk Tides, the Baltimore Orioles affiliate, this Thursday, April 13th. That's tomorrow. The weather's supposed to be beautiful. Go out, watch some baseball. Caller 3 now to win a family 4-pack to see the Nashville Sounds tomorrow night. So I want to touch on this, D-Mays. This is something that you brought up to Jonathan Hutton about a potential trade to number 3. With the Arizona Cardinals, because my biggest thing with trading up to go get a quarterback is if that's your guy, if that is your guy of the future, fine, you go get him. However, you're giving up your potential offensive lineman, wide receiver, tight end, corner, whatever it might be, with those picks that you would trade to Arizona to move up to number 3. So you got your guy, but it comes at a cost. Mm-hmm. You brought up to Jonathan Hutton the potential of trading Kevin Byard to the Arizona Cardinals in a package to move up to number 3.
Yeah, and I understood what Hutt said about, listen, maybe they don't want to take on that contract, and teams usually want picks rather than players
right. In
a move like that. But I think this one may be slightly different in some ways because, one, Austin Ford knows Kevin Byard. They have troubles on the defensive side of the ball. I know they have a young safety already, but if you team him up with Kevin Byard, now you have one of the best combinations of safeties in the National Football League. And Kevin has 2 years remaining on his contract. That's including this year. In both years, it pays him $13.6 million. The cap hit, whether you feel the cap is real or feel it's fake, it doesn't matter. But here's the cap hit. 19 for this year, 17 for next year. So it goes down, but only a little. Mm-hmm. You still have to take the hit. If, and I could be completely wrong on this, if he was in their plans, meaning Kevin Byard, moving forward, this has nothing to do with Kevin Byard. This is business. People, I'm talking business. Not player, not personality. Business. This is from a business standpoint. If you wanted him a part of your organization moving forward, what would you do? You wouldn't ask him to take a pay cut. You would say, let's restructure this contract so we can extend it another 2 or 3 years. Because why? Because you feel that his play is not going to diminish whatsoever. So you want to keep him around as you're retooling everywhere else. You want to have some type of leadership on that defensive side of the ball in a locker room, period. And as we know, Kevin is one of the leaders, if not the sole leader, in that locker room from a vocal standpoint. But if you wanted him a part of this organization from a business standpoint, money standpoint, you would restructure the contract because you did it before. You would restructure the contract, lower the cap money, pay him his money that he's owed this year in a form of a signing bonus or something else, lower it down and deal with it that way. But because they asked him to make a pay cut, I've seen this before. They've asked guys to take a pay cut. It's because, and luckily Kevin's playing at a high level, because if he wasn't, they just wouldn't ask him to take a pay cut.
He has every right to say no.
Exactly. And he has every right to say no. Yeah. Absolutely. But when they start asking you to take a pay cut, what comes next is, either we release you, which they're not going to do with Kevin Byard. They're not going to release him, especially not this year. Or they're going to be looking to trade you. One of the two, because they're not in the business of restructuring. Now, Rand might come back after the draft is over with and say, man, well, hell, let's restructure it. Let's do it. And he has every right to do that. But as we sit now, you're not going to ask your best player on defense beside Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry to take a pay cut if he was going to be a part of your future. You would ask him to restructure it, and let's work it from that way, at least in my experience. Mm-hmm. Now, it can totally go the opposite way. I don't know. But that's why I threw in there, hey, listen, don't be surprised if the Titans are able to move up to that number three spot, that a player, Kevin Byard, is a part of that package. Why? Because Arizona needs defensive help, and they can possibly see him being on that defense for the next 2 or 3 years. They restructure the contract, and he gets the monies that he wants.
I've just been thinking about this all along, and I keep floating this out there. My thought is something's got to give, and the contracts of Tannehill, Byard, Henry, those three guys, I just don't see how they keep it all exactly the same and still be able to address all the other needs of the roster. They have options of what to do. I'm not saying they're going to get rid of them, but I just think I have a hard time thinking that none of those three contracts will have to be addressed in some way. And it may not be a pretty way necessarily for the player. Like, it's fraught with risk, because if you restructure and you incentivize the player, it does kick the can down the road. And they've already done that with Byard.
They've done it with
And they've
Byard.
Done it with Tannehill.
But there's nothing stopping them from doing it again if they want to.
There's nothing stopping them. It's a choice, but it does pay. It does catch up to you. The dead money is already starting to accumulate, right? And it only gets worse.
Well, I believe this is the last year on Derek's contract, too.
It's not the last year, but it's the last year where you would have a huge amount of dead cap if you did something drastic, right? Next year, the restructure is the dead cap is 4.7 million. I guess what do you call those voidable years? Is
yeah,
that the right way to put it?
So it's
dummy years. Basically.
It doesn't say what exactly he would make in 2024.
So this is
25.
The big year. Yeah.
So I just look at it. The idea of trading Kevin Byard might be too much for me. If the Titans look at it, to your point, D-Maze, that it's they are asking Kevin Byard to take a pay cut and they don't want to restructure the contract. They don't want to hold themselves to any more years with Kevin Byard that they don't have to. And he's not going to take a pay cut. And they say, look, we cannot retain your salary and we're not going to restructure your contract. If I'm the Titans, I'd rather restructure than trade. Mm-hmm. But if they did trade Kevin Byard, I wouldn't like it. I honestly wouldn't like it.
I mean, there's a lot of people that wouldn't like it, but listen.
I wouldn't do it if I was Rand Carthon. I wouldn't.
They got rid of Delanie Walker. They got rid of Jarrell Casey, guys that were cornerstones of you know, help building blocks of this new, you know, Tennessee Titan team since Mike Vrabel has been here. And they had to part ways. So eventually, whether we may like it or not, you know, to me, it's like get as much as you can out of these players, especially a guy like Byard. Mm-hmm. Get as much as you possibly can. If he's still playing at a high level, so be it. You pay him. But it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. It comes to a point where these teams look at players and it's like it's the old adage, 1 year sooner rather than 1 year later.
Totally,
so let's
understand.
Do it now rather than try to do it, you know, when he sort of is on that down, you know, decline and we can't move him, you know. So I understand from a business standpoint what they're trying to do. They're trying to get him to take a pay cut. If he doesn't take the pay cut now as an organization, we have to make a decision. What are we going to do? Do we go to somebody else and ask them to take a pay cut? Do we go to a Harold Landry and ask him to take a pay cut on a new contract we just gave him, or restructure on a new contract that we just gave him? You don't have many places you can go to try to get money if that's what you're trying to do. So he would be really the only guy other than the quarterback and the running back, and you're not going to the quarterback. You're just not going to do that.
Fair point. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jeffrey Simmons inked a contract extension with the Tennessee Titans. And there was somebody who wasn't very happy with the reaction from Titans fans. And I want to get your reaction on it coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Nashville's best deal of the week is Joyland in East Nashville. Get half off a $30 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals and enjoy the best burger in town. Find some joy today and eat Joyland for half off with Nashville's best deal of the week at thegamenashville.com. So Paul Gaharsky joined Robbie and Rexford this morning. He does every Wednesday at 8 a.m. And they asked him his thoughts on the Jeffrey Simmons deal. This was Paul Gaharsky on Robbie and Rexford this morning.
The deal from the Titans' point of view, the deal from Jeffrey Simmons' point of view, and the timing in which they got it done.
Good job by both sides, earlier than I expected. Quells the fan panic, which was unnecessary, and another byproduct of the A.J. Brown thing that nobody thinks that a good player is going to be able to be re-signed ever again because they didn't re-sign that one. But I have to say, fan reaction, I mean, the Titans really have this fan-based program to low expectations. And I don't know if you guys agree, but the re-signing of Jeffrey Simmons, which never should have been doubted, has been treated like a Super Bowl win in this town. So the Titans have set the expectations really incredibly low, that re-signing a franchise-level player, which should be expected and never should have not been expected, has been being treated like a parade-level event.
Okay, I want to get your thoughts on this, but I will say I do not blame any Titans fan for, one, being nervous about the deal not getting done, given the recent history of this football team, and, two, being excited that the deal did get done. Your team, re-signing Jeffrey Simmons doesn't make your team better. It makes your team the same because you've had Jeffrey Simmons, but it's better than the alternative. So I'm never going to tell fans how they should or shouldn't feel or should or shouldn't react to a signing like this. They have every right to have been a little bit nervous that maybe the deal wouldn't get done after what happened with A.J. Brown last year. Y'all's thoughts?
Nah, you're right. And I don't think it has, you know, I don't think it has as much to do with A.J. per se than Kendall Wright, Jake Locker, Chance Womack, Marcus Mariota, Jack Conklin, Corey Davis, Adoree Jackson, Rashawn Evans, Isaiah Wilson, Caleb Farley. All those people have one thing in common. They all were first-round draft picks. That's what it has more to do with anything. Now, some of these players we can say, listen, it's not the Titans' fault they didn't re-sign them. They just weren't good players. Right. You know, but take, for instance, Corey Davis. Corey Davis for this team was a good player. You chose not to sign him back. Jack Conklin was a good player, a Pro Bowl player, all-pro player with this team at one point. You chose not to re-sign him. Okay? But this is why the fan base gets nervous, because of situations like that, that you can't, for whatever reason, and I'm not going to put this on Rand or Mike, but for whatever reason, you have not been able, since 2010, you have not been able to retain your first-round picks. All those names that I named, all of them were first-round picks. And what happened? Now one of them were retained after their first initial contract.
We have to define what that means. Like, they were not retained.
Yeah.
But it's not like they couldn't.
Oh, yeah. Them. Exactly. They could have kept them.
There were
them.
Reasons
yeah.
for each one exactly. being not retained. So, you know, we said this the other day, like there's another category. Jeffrey Simmons is on a different level than any of these other guys.
Exactly.
You know, LaJuan was one of the best at his position.
Man, Jack Conklin was one of the best at his position.
That's the one that mystifies me more than any of the other ones on that list. But I don't think any of us were worried. You know, if you were really worried that this wasn't going to get done, I think you're a little bit on the worrywart side. And the other thing is, we talk about this team all the time, year round. You're kind of working yourself up into a worry. Mm-hmm. Just because you have nothing else, nothing's happening. They don't play another football game until August for preseason games, right? We got a long way to go. It was going to get done, and it got done fairly quick.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Paul exaggerates to make a point, as he has been known to do.
Tends to do.
The other exaggeration, the parade. I mean, was that really a parade? I do think there is an admiration, a mutual admiration for Jeffrey Simmons. This team, you need players that you can build around. You need players that are marketable. You need players that When you think of your franchise, who do you think of? Mm-hmm. Right? Derrick Henry's been that guy. I think Jeffrey Simmons is becoming that guy. So there's a little more celebration when you sign a guy like that. It's not we got him signed. It's that this is a special guy.
But I understand what Paul is saying because they have, for whatever reason, and I said it, some of it wasn't on the Titans. Some of these players just didn't perform the way they needed to perform to get a second deal. But to Paul's, point, because you haven't been able to do it for whatever reason, then when they see, a Jeffrey, they see, AJ last year, even though he was a second rounder, but he was one of your best players, they see you don't sign him back. And then they see a Jeffrey Simmons and sort of what's going on here, even though they have a bunch of time to re-sign him, fans tend to get a little tight. Why? Especially sort of the fans of the last couple of years, because they've seen A.J. Brown get out the building. Mm-hmm. They've seen other guys that were pretty good guys not retained. So, they get a little antsy and tight and worried about not being able to sign Jeffrey, which there should have never been a worry. He was going to be a Titan this year regardless.
And it's whenever you're looking at this team and Rand Carthon, the rational take is the deal's going to get done. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to get done. Jeffrey Simmons is going to be here. The question is, when is it going to get done and for how much money? Who's going to win the deal? Those really were the questions. But fans aren't always rational.
No,
like, let's be fair here. And so if a fan is thinking, no, the deal's going to get done. But I thought they were going to re-sign A.J. Brown, too. And, oh, my gosh, what if the same thing happens with A.J. Brown? It kind of sends you down a little bit of a rabbit hole. It's the same kind of idea of the Titans don't pay anybody just because it's recency bias of the Titans didn't want to pay A.J. Brown what he wanted, so they traded him away. It's the recency bias of, well, the Titans don't pay anyone, even though they do. Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of idea of recency bias with A.J. Brown is, well, A.J. Brown was a cornerstone player for this franchise, and the Titans traded him away, so what are they going to, allegiance to nobody.
Well, you see what Vrabel did. He didn't want to go down that road when it was asked about the whole Jeffrey Simmons and everything else. So, listen, I'm not going down that road. I've been burned already with A.J. Brown. So things can change in the NFL.
Things change by the day in the NFL. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
Be love and love on somebody. Peace.